All right, I told you this morning I was going to tell you if all dogs go to heaven. So that's the title tonight of the message, Will All Dogs Go to Heaven? We'll tell you before it's over. But anyway, I want you to look with me several. We're going to be turning to 2 Samuel. I'll give you a couple of places to turn. 2 Samuel chapter 9, Matthew chapter number 15 as well. 2 Samuel 9, Matthew 15. And then also, I'm going to go to, I believe it's Proverbs that I want to look in for just a second. But you find 2 Samuel chapter 9, Matthew 15. I'll read you a couple of verses out of Proverbs 26 and also out of Ecclesiastes has something to say about that. Well, I'll go there in a moment. But Proverbs 26 and verse number 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. A fool returns to his folly. A dog returns to his vomit. And then in Psalm 59 and verse 6 and verse 14, both in that 59th Psalm, it says the dog goes about making a noise. So dogs are sickening in some ways. Dogs are noisy. How many has been kept awake at night by a barking dog? Yeah, hardly. I think everybody in here. How many has tried to shoot? No, don't raise your hand. A barking dog at night. But we've been kept awake, or we've been awaked by that. Psalm 59, verse 6, 14 says, they go about the walls making noise, Proverbs 26 and 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, and how sickening that is. And a dog will do that, see if there's anything there he can still get back in. And he'll do that. He says, a fool's just like going back to their folly. Now, why on earth would the Lord compare it to that? Because that's the way we are with sin. We grab a hold of it. It grabs a hold of us. It's sickening. We know it's not the right thing. And lo and behold, we might get, you know, we may get a little bit of relief from it and we'll take off and then we'll go right back again. Those addictions will do that every time. Every time. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And so, and pretty much in the scriptures, the dogs don't really represent something that's always good. Matter of fact, they're used in a negative sense. Now, what on earth does that have to do with what we're doing here on Sunday nights? I'll show you. Stay with me. Because the dog, as sickening as it is, as annoying as they are, as noisy as they are, and all the problems they have, there's something that can be said about them. Josh was in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, and in Ecclesiastes 9 and 4, he was throughout the whole book of Ecclesiastes. Wonderful message. Do an overview of that. It so blessed my heart. But I'll just give you this verse, Ecclesiastes 9, 4. The living dog is better than a dead lion. What do you mean by that? Even as despised as a dog is, as despised and as sickening as a dog can be, as noisy and annoying as a dog is, at times, and I love dogs, don't get me wrong, but a living dog's better than a dead lion. Oh, that lion, man, he's the king of the beast. He rules the jungle. He's over everything. Everything, all the animals have to listen to him. They have to give space for the lion to come by. But a dead lion is no good. And a living dog is better than a dead lion. What on earth did Solomon the preacher mean by that? He said this is the reason there is hope. There is hope for a living dog. A dead lion is dead. There's no hope. But a living dog, there's hope. And there's hope for our nation, folks. There's hope for our world. There's hope for our children, our grandchildren, our young people. There's hope. And I know that sometimes the devil would whisper in our ears and say to us, hey, there's no hope, man. As it said, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy there, chapter number 3, he said, man, in these days, Perilous times, dangerous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves and boasters and proud and blasphemers. And he gives a whole list of things describing our age. And we're in it. And we see it from the government down. We see it all the way down. And it's being force-fed into us. And we see all of that. We're experiencing that. And wokeism, and that simply is where, hey, we're going to force you, we're going to push it on you whether you like it or not. You're going to have to agree with it. We'll kick you out of the church or kick you out of the denomination, or we'll just do whatever. We won't let you keep your doors open if we can help it. Whatever they have to do, because we're going to force this on you. But during all of this, in Paul's description, after he gets through describing it, you know what he says? But Timothy, you continue in the things which you've heard. The things which you've learned, Timothy, you hang on. You hang on to it. You keep it. And that's this book. You keep it in your heart. You keep it in your mind. Government changes. Philosophies change. Cultures change. This book stays the same. It's eternal truth. This book, I don't know if you realize it or not, the Bible talks about the books that will be opened in heaven. We have the book of life, which I believe is actually the book that has all the human beings that's ever born and ever will be born in that book. Then you have the Lamb's book of life, which is those who are born again, written in the Lamb's book of life. And this book is there. I don't know if there's other. I know there's a book of remembrance. Where, Lord, I've thought about those prayers that he's written down and recorded that folks that's been in heaven for a long, long time have prayed, and that book of remembrance is written. The Lamb's book of life is there. The book of life is there. This book, the Bible, is there. And so I sure do want to be in agreement with a book that's going to be eternally in the heavens, don't you? I want to be in agreement with the book that all of the saints of God will gather around and look upon throughout eternity, and they'll say, wow, looky there. You see this promise here? A living dog is better than a dead lion. How on earth could that be? Because there's hope. Now, go with me over to 2 Samuel. Are you there? 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Let's look at this. Do all dogs go to heaven? I think you'll make your mind up here tonight in just a moment. In chapter 9, we read a wonderful story of a fellow that compared himself to a dead dog. And I guess in one sense he was, because he thought there was no hope. Now remember, Solomon had said that a living dog is better than a dead dog. Lion, and here's a fellow by the name of Mephibosheth, and he's the son of Jonathan, and Jonathan and David were best buddies. I mean, super best buddies. You couldn't have been closer than them two boys. The brothers couldn't have been closer. And Jonathan and David have been together as friends, and of course, Jonathan was dead at this time, actually, been 16 years. Since Jonathan's death, David is on the throne now. He's ruling over all of Israel. The whole kingdom is his. And it says in verse 1, David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? You see, he's on the throne. He has all of the kingdom submissive to him. And the enemies are fearful of the nation now. And so they have, a peace. And David is remembering Jonathan and how close their friendship was and how he missed him and the unselfishness of Jonathan. He's remembering the visits Jonathan made to him when he was out in the wilderness running from Saul, Jonathan's daddy, and Jonathan would come to David anyway at the risk of his life. David's remembering all this. Your todays are tied to your tomorrows. David, with this in his mind, he says, does Jonathan have anybody left? Is there any of his children or kids or grandkids or anybody? And We're told in verse 2, there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. The king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. His little legs had been broken when Jonathan had to flee from the kingdom. Saul was being overthrown in essence. And the king said unto him, Where is he? Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. The place Lodibar means the land of no bread. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar, from the land of no bread. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, who right now, I figured this up, he's in the neighborhood of 21 years old, all right? So that's his age. That gives you a good picture of this. And his dad's been dead for 16 years, so that means he was 5 years old when the nursemaid fell with him and broke his little legs up. And it says in verse 6, the son of Saul, and now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and he did reverence. David said, Mephibosheth, he answered, Behold thy servant. David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely do thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Because you see, rightfully, Mephibosheth didn't have the land. He didn't inherit the land. Should have been his, but Saul was dead. Jonathan was dead. David was the king. David says, I'm going to give you all of that land that was Saul's. And you're going to eat bread at my table continually. I'm going to see to it you're taken care of. Boy, you talk about the government disability plan. Here it was, long before the government come up with it. It was just the hand of God in the good heart of David and the grace of God to reach into the land of no bread and get a hold of Mephibosheth and bring him up to the king's palace. And he bowed himself. Look what Mephibosheth said. He bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? That's the way he felt. I'm a dead dog. What is it that you're so good to me? Why are you so good to me? And the reason is this. He's good to him because of what another had done for him. Why is God so good to us? Because of what another has done for us. Because we have a risen Savior. We have a Lord who rules and reigns, and our Lord Jesus died in our place. He came to the land of no bread and came down to us and rescued us when we couldn't help ourselves. When we were yet, as the Roman says, we were yet without strength. We were crippled. We were lame. We were without strength. When we were yet without strength, what happened? Christ died for us. And here on behalf of another, David is showing mercy to a dead dog. So it tells you that a dead dog can be rescued if they'll be receptive. And what do you mean by that? Well, Mephibosheth, he could have refused and said, No, I'm not going to have it. I won't go. He could have refused Ziba the servant and said, No, I won't go. No, I don't want anything to do with David. I'm still bitter about all this, you know, and what's happened to my family. I'm not going to go. And here he is, has to have someone either. Maybe he can drag himself along with crutches, but likely someone had to pick him up and carry him. So it was strictly by the grace of God through David to reach to Mephibosheth, to get him out of Lodibar and bring him to the palace. And all of it was grace, and all of it also was because David had pity on a dead dog. And Mephibosheth realized this. Yes, David, I'm a dead dog. I have no money. I have no income. I'm impoverished. And here comes the rescuer in. What if David had just sent a messenger? What if Ziba went down there and said, Hey, here's an invitation. The king says for you to come to the palace. And old Ziba says, I can't walk. Well, too bad. You can't get there. That's too bad. We're not going to get you there. The Bible says, you read that, they fetched him. I mean, they went and got him. They went and picked him up. They rescued him out of the land of no bread, out of the land of Lodibar. And that's what Jesus has done for us. We were all dead dogs in the land of Lodibar, where there was nothing we could do. We were lame on our feet. We were helpless. And the Lord came and rescued us, sent the sweet Holy Ghost, like that servant Ziba, the sweet Holy Spirit, to come and to speak to us. And yes, draw us to Jesus. So, a living dog's better than a dead lion, because the dogs can be rescued if they'll receive it, and they did. Is there anything can be done for our generation today? Can we do anything for America? Is it too late for America? Is it too late to rescue? Now, Jesus is coming, folks. I know that. You know that. I believe with all my heart. I have more of an urgency in my soul for the rapture than I've had in my entire 43 years of ministry. I think we're soon leaving out. I'm telling you, just this week I thought, oh, one of these days there'll be empty clothes, empty suits. There'll be, there in the preschool, there will be babies that will be gone. All the babies will be gone, every one of them. There will be their little clothes. There will be the little shirts and the little dresses. They'll be laying wherever they were when Jesus comes. He's coming for us. He's coming to get us, and we know that. But can we have an outpouring of His Spirit? Can the Holy Spirit go down into the land of no bread, where people are lame and they're not looking for anything or expecting anything, much less God? Can He do that? Yes! A living dog is better than a dead lion, for sure, if they'll be rescued and be receptive. We see that in this. So much more we'll say there. But look over in Matthew 15. In Matthew chapter number 15, here's somebody else that says they're a dog. Not only did Mephibosheth say that, but in Matthew chapter 15, the Lord tells a woman that. Verse 21, Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same country. This is, by the way, this was not a Jewish lady. This was not an Israelite. This was not, she had no inheritance. She really had no right, in essence, to claim Jesus as the son of David. But she comes out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon, it says, which, by the way, is the same area where Elijah, you remember Elijah, when he was told to go stay with the widow woman? It was in this area where this woman lived. Many centuries before, but Elijah was told to go to Zarephath, and right there's the same region. And this woman comes out of there, and she comes to Jesus and cried unto Him, the Bible says in verse number 22, and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, no doubt she probably had heard someone or overheard that someone said, hey, this is the Messiah of the Jews, and I've heard people call Him the son of David. So if you go call on Him the son of David, he's going to answer you. So she's not a Jew. She has no, can we say, background in the Jewish religion. She just knows this must be God, what He's doing. And she comes and says, oh, have mercy on me, thou son of David. But He answered her not a word. He did not even respond. His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, Lord. We've come over here for rest, and just send her away. She's not even a Jew. You know where she's from. Send her away. But she persistently kept on asking, and that's what it means when it says she crieth after us. It's that she wouldn't be quiet. She wouldn't be quiet. She just kept asking, kept asking, kept asking. Wouldn't be quiet. And He, Jesus, answered her. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now she's referring to him as the son of David. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's getting to the right place. Very humble here. He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to who? The dogs. Jesus said, I can't take the children's meat. That which I have for the Jewish people and give to the dogs. He was talking about the little dogs like some of you may have at your house that eats all the food that falls off the table. And some of them gets up in a chair and eats the food that's on the table. Right? Right. Yeah. You leave something out there long enough, they will be by. And they will be missing. And here, that's what he said. But he said, I can't take that food and give to you. And I love what she said. Here's the key. Truth, Lord. That's repentance. What do you mean? She agreed with him. Lord, you're right. I am a dog. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Lord, I'm a dog. And I can eat a crumb. And oh, this pleases the Lord so very much. Now she's not coming as a Jew and coming as to the son of David. She knows he's God. She believes that. She believes he's the Christ. And she says, Lord, I just want a crumb. We need crummy Christians, don't we? Crummy Christians. I want a crumb. I am a dog. I agree with you. That's what repentance is. Not only, as we saw in 2 Samuel, the dogs that are rescued and the dogs that will receive the rescue, like Mephibosheth, can come. But the dogs here who are repentant and obedient, when she just agrees with her Lord, yes, Lord, you're right. I've got a conversation with him. He's talking to me. And he's going to give me whatever I ask because I agree with him. And I love this right here. She says, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Look what Jesus said in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. That's a blank check. He signed the check and handed it to her. And she said, oh, hallelujah. Her daughter was demon-possessed. Problem that many young people have today. Demon possession. Not just among young people, among everyone. Demon possession. What do you think was in that girl that was down there at the Christian school and murdered those six people and then she was killed, of course? What do you think was there? Demon possession. Demon possession. All over the place. It's everywhere. And her daughter was demon possessed. And from that very hour, her daughter was set free. Why was her daughter set free? Not because the daughter came and confessed she was a dead dog. She was. Not because someone else confessed that she, the daughter, was so bad. It's because the mother came and said, Lord, I'm telling you, I am the dead dog. I need a crumb. I need something from the master's table. It's because that Kelly, during the night, the Lord said, hey, I made you a promise, girl. I know, Lord, but here's what they're saying. I don't care what they say. They may have got their BS degree. But you've got the BK degree, Bent Knee University, by the way. BKU. Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it? BKU. You got the Bent Knee University degree here. And I've answered your Bent Knee University. And by the way, that's for you. Prayed on behalf of another. And the Lord answered that prayer. Now, there's two dogs we know that went to heaven. There's Mephibosheth. There's this woman, and of course her daughter too. Who knows how many more from them. We know they went to heaven. We understand that, even the typology that they went to heaven. Remember, a living dog is better than a dead lion because there's hope for a change. And listen to me tonight. There is hope. As long as we have living dogs, there's hope. If we'll just tell our Lord, Lord, we agree with you. We absolutely agree. We know who we are. We repent. We agree with you, God. That's what repentance is. It's simply agreeing with God with what He says about us, because He knows what we are and He knows who we are. And we repent. There's the two dogs that we see in the Scriptures. There's many other Scriptures about dogs, but these two who confessed to be dogs were both rescued, and families rescued and saved. And Mephibosheth's family rescued. I mean, everything restored to him. Wow. What a blessing. Now, do all dogs go to heaven? Well, I know that you love that old song that my grandmother, she must have heard this. Mama was born in 1900, so she's heard it. She said she'd heard it all her life. From the 1800s, evidently, is where this came from. And it was a song about the animals. We've all got attached to dogs and cats, haven't we? Before. I mean, you raise a hand, you've got attached to them. And if something happens to them, what do? You cry. You do. Sandra's not as crazy about dogs as I am. We don't have one. We have got a cat that comes around. I call him Nodhead and she calls him Midnight. But anyway, and I know if something happens, they cry. I don't know if I wish I could think. I know this song. I don't remember. I remember Mama humming it to me. I don't play guitar too often. You'll see that in a minute. Amen. Let's see if that's it. If there's a dog heaven, I know Sam is there. Because old Sam was a good dog. Everywhere. Amen. You're saying, preacher, I told you Sunday nights is different, but anyway. There's a dog heaven, old Sam is there. Because old Sam was a good dog everywhere. Now, dogs don't have a spirit, they have a soul. So when they die, that spirit don't go to that end. But there's hope for you. Because the Bible says this, and I want to give you this scripture. In Isaiah chapter number 11, I want to show you something. Since our Lord made everything, He made the dogs, and the dogs have been said all the way back. I was trying to think, King Frederick. King Frederick of Prussia, which I think is modern-day Germany now, in 1789 coined that phrase that a dog is man's best friend. Haven't we heard that? And we know the man's best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's man's best friend. But in Isaiah chapter number 11, we do find, since our Lord created all things, are there animals in heaven? Well, we're coming back on white horses, so we know that. But I do know in the kingdom age, I can assure you, that dogs will be there. The Bible says in Isaiah 11 and 6, talking about the kingdom, the wolf and a dog, we know that. Our dogs is a tamed descendant of the wolf. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, and their young ones shall lie down together. All the nature changes. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The sucking child, the little toddler, will play on the hole of the asp or the hole of the rattlesnake and the copperhead, the weaned child will pull his hand into a den of snake. They'll play with them. All their nature is changed for sure during the kingdom age. So we know that during the kingdom age, even those animals that we love and we're attracted to, our Lord redeems all of creation. Hallelujah. And I praise the Lord for that. But the main thought I want to leave you with tonight is that when we realize, even as Mephibosheth and as this little woman, in one sense, we're just old dead dogs. We're just dogs, but yet we can't eat crumbs from the master's table. And our Lord says, hey, you're no longer a dog, girl. You're part of my family. He took this gal, as Mephibosheth was taken, ate at the king's table, sat with him. He was no longer in land of no bread, no longer in poverty, but he was made rich. So was this woman, and she got her prayers answered. God brought her family in. Hallelujah. And praise His holy name. May I say to every one of us, our meetings here, our time together right here on these Sunday nights, we very well can be doing exactly what this woman was doing in Matthew 15 and other Gospels recorded, that she was beseeching and begging God on behalf of others, on behalf of her children, oh Lord, please, please, please do this. And our God wants more to do that than we want it done. He more readily wants to move the demons out of our kids and our grandkids and out of the people we know. He wants them to have a revival and a refreshing. Can I say He wants a great awakening in them? They've never been saved. They can't have a reviving, but they can have a great awakening and bring them out of that. That's what He wants to do. You and I just agree together and intercede like this woman. Accept the rescue as Mephibosheth. When I say accept it, is a lot of times we don't want to do that. Did you know that Daniel, you realize that Daniel told God in his prayer of confession, he said, God, I'm guilty of all these sins. He started naming the sins of Israel and he placed them all on himself. Daniel said, I'm guilty. Lord, I'm guilty of idolatry. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of God. We've done everything against you. And he put the we in it. And God heard that intercessory prayer, understanding. Daniel, you love these folks so much. Paul had the same heart. He said, I would. He said, I'd die. I'd be accursed for my people. And God will hear our heart. Is there any hope for a dead dog? Yes, there is. When they'll receive the rescue, they'll repent and just agree with God. And you and I can do that portion as this woman on behalf of our family and friends. Let's close in prayer tonight and realizing our Lord, this thought hit me coming up the road. Our Lord Jesus has gone to the dogs. Did you know that? He has. That's what heaven would say. As Jesus was dying on the cross, He's gone to the dogs. And the dogs needed Him so bad. And we need Him now. If you want to come and pray, you can pray there. But let's close in prayer. Let's just beg God, oh my Lord, I want to intercede. Now He's not going to be, you think He's going to do more for this little Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15 that came from the area of Tyre and Sidon than He'd do for you? When you're His child, you belong to Him already. And she's coming, first of all, to repent for her own sins and then asking for a miracle for her family. Well, no. He'd do that for you just as well. Dear Father, as we come tonight, thank You for hearing us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for going to the dogs. Thank You for going to the dogs. Lord, I'm a dog. I certainly am. Lord, I want to repent. I want to agree with You in everything that's about me. But You took me out of the dog pound and You put me into the family of God. I'm now one of Your children. Just like Mephibosheth was rescued and said, you can eat at the king's table from now on. I get to eat at the king's table. I'll never go back to the dog pound. Hallelujah. Lord, I come, and we all come on behalf of others. Lord, we have those in our families, Father, that's in the same position and place where this little lady's child was. She was so burdened, that was demon-possessed. And Lord, our nation, there's so many of our kids under attack, our young people. They're right in the crosshairs of the devil, and he's speaking great lies to them, and demon possession is around. Oh, God, we want to interfere right now. We want to intercede right now and ask you for the same anointing and power, Lord, that you gave to that little girl, that little woman that prayed for that girl. Lord, we ask you right now to remove that, to cast these voices down, rebuke every demon, rebuke the attack of Satan and all the hierarchy of hell and all the demonic forces and all the power of the principalities that's in the heavens. Rebuke them all in the name of Jesus through the blood of Christ, through his resurrection power. Cast them down right this moment. That's building a stronghold in the lives of our young people, our children, our cousins, our kinfolk, our folks around us, everywhere, Father, that every one of these lives here in this building has touched. Rebuke every demon, we pray. And not only the demons, but that the voices in darkness that seems to be even more powerful than the demons. They're all under the control of the old enemy, Satan. Rebuke them all through the blood of Christ, through his resurrection power that we've heard sung about tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you guys. Thank you for hanging with me tonight a little bit longer than normal, usually at 6. But I love you. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Now, if the choir wants to come back up for me to teach them that song, if y'all want to stay a little later, you know, to hear about old Sam, and, you know, I'll try to remember the rest of it, but you get the rest of it. Okay, yeah. I thought you'd probably get it. God, I love you. And don't forget to see Miss Faye if you're, you know, wanting to go out to eat with them on Tuesday. And then we'll be here Wednesday night. We love you. Thank you.